Welcome to the Lansdale Life Church Podcast. If you're seeking a closer relationship with Jesus Christ, this podcast is for you. Thank you for joining us today.
So we're turning to Acts chapter 5. We're continuing in Acts. We're going to finish up the chapter this morning. I did want to mention there is one other announcement that I would like to share. I don't know if we have that frame, but our local church, Monco Bible Fellowship, we do a lot of things with them. In fact, many of the men were at the men's breakfast yesterday morning, and they asked us to kind of promote a program they're having at their church in August for Children's Evangelism Fellowship. And so do you have that frame with Mark Skilpian, or I can't pronounce his name, but he's an evangelist? No? Okay. All right. Never mind about all that. forget about it. Anyway, we'll put this up next week, but praise the Lord. Anyway, so yeah, turn to Acts chapter 5, and today's message, the word of life will not be silenced. Amen?
Amen.
You know, unrelated, I just noticed that I am a fanatic about washing my hands. I don't know, maybe even more so after COVID, but I'm always thinking about it. I shake somebody's hand, I'm like, note to self, wash your hands. No offense to anybody here, but for some reason, I don't know about you, you know, you could nod your head if you're kind of the same way, but I think about it because, you know, a lot of germs are passed through hand touching and so forth. And so, and then sometimes I'll just come out of the bathroom, I'll shake somebody's hand, it's sopping wet, my hand is. And I'm like, sorry about that, I just washed my hands. Nothing else happened in there, I washed my hands, I promise. But anyway, it's just, you know, I'm kind of a fanatic about it. I think we all kind of are, you know, because we're aware that not washing your hands passes on a lot of contamination. And I've been in hospitals a lot lately for myself and visiting people. And if you ever notice, when the doctor comes in, they wash their hands every single time, and they're always putting on the antiseptic and so forth. And it's just common practice, isn't it? And yet, in the 1800s, doctors would go from one surgery to the next and not wash their hands. They would deliver babies. They would just come from like an autopsy, and because they did everything back then, and they would go right in and deliver a baby after having contaminated hands. And you're like, wow, you know, you can't fathom that nowadays, but that's what happened. Until a man named Ignaz Semmelweis. Do you have that frame? There he is. Kind of looks like Jerry Dover a little bit, but a little more portly. Anyway. But he was in the 1800s. And he realized, okay, that he was a physician and a scientist, and he realized that he worked in the maternity ward, and there was one ward that was up to 18% fatality, that the women were just dying. It was a condition that was baby death syndrome, but it wasn't the baby, it was the mother was dying after giving birth. And it was 18% of the women giving birth were dying, and it was Hungary, Budapest is where he was raised, and he worked in the Vienna hospital, and he's like, what is going on here? Like, this shouldn't be. Like, women are just dying. And so finally he discovered, I don't have time to explain how, but he discovered through the death of his partner in the practice, he realized when his partner died, it was through contamination from this virus that these women are getting. And he realized, wait a minute. All we have to do is wash our hands. And he really was saying, let's start washing our hands with various things, chlorinated lime and so forth. So he was washing his hands, and his ward dropped from 18 to 1% deaths in his ward. So he started telling other doctors, hey, you have to do this. And they all said, are you suggesting that we are causing the deaths in women giving birth? Like, how dare, they were offended, okay? So no one listened to him. In fact, no one really, it really didn't take on except in his little local practice until after his death. Finally, people started trying. Hey, you know what we should do? Why don't we wash our hands? You know, something we just take for granted. And since then, it is just normal practice. And the reason why I bring that little anecdote up is that in this passage today, the apostles are going to share words of life just like Ignaz Semmelweis did, that he was sharing to the medical community, we need antiseptic practices when we give medical care, because diseases are being passed from one person to another. Well, the apostles were saying, you know what? We need, instead of like our bodies being cleansed so that we don't catch disease, our souls need to be cleansed so that our souls no longer carry the disease of sin. And this is what they were sharing. They're saying, look, you need Jesus Christ for forgiveness, for repentance and forgiveness of your sins, to be washed clean. And only Jesus Christ provides that. And what do you think the religious community were doing? Well, just like Ignace's medical community, well, are you suggesting that we, mankind, are causing this? We're the answer, the religious community, they were saying. Well, no. They were saying only Jesus Christ cleanses souls from sins. And so, and they weren't listening. And yet they were sharing the words of life. And in the same way, of course, you and I carry that same message into the world. In the same way, we're saying, look, your souls are contaminated. There's only one way to be cleansed from that sin, and it's through Jesus Christ. He is the only way, truth, and life. He is the antidote for your soul's contamination. To rid yourself of the sin disease, it's only through Jesus Christ. Now, we believers just take that for granted. Like, yeah, no duh. Just like washing your hands. Like, of course. Well, no. It is still like a confounding idea to the world at large. You mean this Jesus Christ? How does he cleanse my sins, you know? And so we carry that same message as the apostles did. Today, I want to talk about three kingdom priorities. Three kingdom priorities that I'd love us to grasp. And that is, obedience to God is greater than approval of man. Right? That greater sign, you took mathematics, you know what I mean by that arrow. Obedience to God is greater than approval of men. Faithful persistence is greater than fearful pressure. And then finally, eternal reward is greater than earthly regret. And we're going to get into those things as we read on. And so we're going to start in Acts chapter 5 in verse 17. And just to set the stage, last week we saw how there were signs and wonders at the hands of the apostles. There were miracles, there were healings, and there were deliverances. And how about last week? Wasn't that awesome? When we came to the center and received prayer from those around us, and we just accepted in faith that the Lord wanted to heal us, and some of you came forward and actually said, I was healed of something. I'm still getting healed of my shoulder. I believe it is healed. It's just a matter of a couple little more prayers, and it's going to be gone. Amen. But like the Lord demonstrated his power. So many of us have been healed of things. Amen? Amen? And so at some point we'll have an opportunity in the future to give testimonies. Because I believe if you weren't healed last week, the Lord is still working on it. Because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? He doesn't change tactics. He's the same way. And so in Jerusalem, there was all these miracles and everything happening. And like the whole city was in like just elated with the glorious things that were happening. People were coming from the cities surrounding Jerusalem, bringing all their sick and say, there's healing going on. They're carrying them on stretchers and whatever way they could get them there to be healed. And so wouldn't you think everybody would be happy about that? No. Well, first of all, Satan's not happy about that, right? And then those who he is controlling and inhabiting. And so when the religious people heard this, of course, they were envious. And they said, we have to put a stop to this. Isn't it? It's amazing. The enemy always wants to put a stop to something glorious God is doing. Amen? And so that's where we're going to pick this up in verse 17. And what we're going to do is just really dial in, because we're going to read right through the whole story, because it is such an easy flow. It's a narrative. It's a story. And we're not going to stop. We're not going to break at all. And we're just going to go right through it, but really concentrate on this story, because it's magnificent. You ready? So, Father God, we ask you, Lord, to open up our minds and hearts, to sharpen ourselves, Lord God. We want to truly receive your word, Lord, so that you can cut into us, Lord God, and you can cut into the soul and the spirit, the bone and the marrow, and the thoughts and the intentions of the heart, Lord God. We want to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, so we can prove the good, acceptable, perfect will of you, Lord. So we ask you, Lord, to do your surgery on us today, Lord God, and just cleanse us of any wrong thinking. And even if someone is holding on to contamination in their souls, Lord God, we ask you to just cleanse us of all of that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay, verse 17. Then the high priest rose up, and all those who were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. But at night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, go stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life. And verse 21, and when they had heard that, they entered the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest and those with him came and called the council together with all the elders of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came and did not find them in the prison, they returned and reported, saying, indeed, we found the prison shut securely and the guards standing outside before the doors, but when we opened them, we found no one inside. Now, when the high priest, the captain of the temple, and the chief priests heard these things, they wondered what the outcome would be. So one came and told them, saying, look, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Verse 26, then the captain went with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should be stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council. And the high priest asked them, saying, did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood on us. But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. And the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on a tree. Him God has exalted to his right hand to be prince and savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses to these things, and so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. Verse 33. When they heard this, they were furious and plotted to kill them. Then one in the council stood up, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, held in respect by all the people, and commanded them to put the apostles outside for a little while. And he said to them, men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what you intend to do regarding these men. For some time ago, Theudas, rose up claiming to be somebody. A number of men, about 400, joined him. He was slain, and all who obeyed him were scattered and came to nothing. Verse 37, after this man, Judas of Galilee rose up in the days of the census and drew away many people after him. He also perished, and all who obeyed him were dispersed. And now I say to you, keep away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan or this work is of men, it will come to nothing. But if it is of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest you even be found to fight against God. And verse 40, and they agreed with him, and when they had called for the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And so they, meaning the apostles, departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. Amen. So what that just tells us everything, right? And so just to kind of recap a little bit so that we can really grasp what's going on. So these amazing things were happening in Jerusalem. And then the Sadducees, which were the aristocrats, you know, they were the religious leaders, but they were not religious like the Pharisees were. The Pharisees were more authentic and raw and really believed in like the separation of the Jews from the Gentiles. And they were, but the Sadducees were kind of like, they were in good with the Roman government. And they were really more all about themselves and their position with the people. They were mostly the more rich of the class of the religious sect. And so they were the rulers of the people, and they had a lot of clout with the Romans. And so it was best for them that they would diminish any uproar in the city. So this wasn't working for them, okay? Because all these people were like saying, wow, you know, this is awesome and everything else. And like, they wanted to quiet everything so Rome didn't start to say, what's going on in that city? Are you managing things okay? So they wanted to quench this. For that, and of course, they were envious that now the people are following this guy who died and left rather than them. They liked being the leaders. And so they heard about this. They captured them. They throw them in jail. And then an angel releases them, you know, brings them out and shuts everything up behind them, right, to make it even more of an amazing miracle, right? And then he says this. In fact, if you could put verse 20, he says, go stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life. All the words of this life. You know, just I want you to think about how much of an ask that is, okay? Now, they had just been arrested, okay? I don't know about you. I've never been arrested, praise the Lord, okay? But, like, going to jail would kind of put some fear in you, wouldn't it? You know, and you know it's only going to get worse from there, okay? And what does the angel give them a message from God to do? Okay, not to go and leave Jerusalem, okay? Not to hide out in some house, but to go into the temple. In fact, we have another picture of the temple. I've been showing this a lot. This is actually a model in Jerusalem you could go see. But so they had been spending a lot of time here in Solomon's portico. You know, the church was growing. It was like an outside church in a sense. And then they were going out because they had too many people. I mean, thousands of people were joining them. So then they're out into the peripheral, into the city, right, healing people and so forth. Well, the angels are saying, all right, now go back and don't go out here. Don't go there. Don't go here. Go there. And even go there. You know, that's right in the face of the Sadducees and the Pharisees. I mean, it was like, you're going right back into it, you know? And that was huge, you know? I mean, I don't know about you, but I wouldn't mind maybe hiding out in one of these little houses out here and, like, doing my little thing, okay? And you know, but, like, here, and, you know, as I was thinking about this, it kind of reminds me when the Lord tells me to go show the words of this life to people I'm a little intimidated by, like your boss, you know? I remember when I was newly saved and my boss needed to get saved, man. He was just like, he was so off in his theology. In fact, he had none, right? I got to go straighten him out. I remember people in my home fellowship saying, just settle down, you know, just before you go in there, you know, like you need to be prayed up and really, you know, you still want your job, don't you? At the end of this. And they're kind of trying to settle me down. And they did. They kind of re restructured how I was going to approach this, because I was so zealous, I could have gotten myself into some trouble, right? But like still, the zeal and the purpose was there. And so I did. I ended up talking to him and speaking to him about things, and he just thought he was great. And I said, well, you know, you're going to go to hell if you don't have Jesus Christ. Now, if any of you are hearing that for the first time, you know, it's true. It's true. You need Jesus Christ to be saved. He is the only way, truth, and life to salvation. And that's it. You know, he's the narrow way. So many people hear about the broad way, the gateway, you know, that, you know, there must be other ways. No, there really isn't. It's narrow and it's simple. It's one man and God, Jesus Christ. He is the doorway, right? And so I remember saying to him, I said, you know, yeah, but you need Jesus to go to heaven. He's like, well, you're not suggesting like that people don't believe in Jesus aren't going to heaven. I'm like, well, yeah, you know, I'll see you later. I didn't go much further than that, okay? But like, sometimes you want to be out here, but the Lord sends you right in there, okay? Right in the face of your family members that you know are going to argue with you, that they know everything. They're know-it-alls. Does anybody have a know-it-all family member? You know, it's if they're next to you, I don't want you to point them out, okay? But really, you know, it's like, you know, the last thing you want to do is debate with someone that you know is going to come up with more facts than you know and all that kind of stuff, you know. But it's like the Lord is saying to them, no, you go back there, okay? So that's where they go. And then they're looking for them. And that next verse we have up on the slide, verse 25, they said, look, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple teaching the people. Can you imagine that? They're like, what? Like, they weren't afraid to do that? You know, the boldness of that, you know, the arrogance, you know, to defy what we are telling them to do. And so they go and they get them again and they bring them in and they start, you know, rebuking them. And verses 28 to 32 goes through that little story when they said, did we not strictly command you not to teach in his name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood on us. I love this. This is where I want to live, day in and day out. You ought to obey God rather than men. Amen? I mean, that is so profound. Yesterday, a couple of us went out on the street for Lansdale Day, and we came across, you know, and I'm just going to say it, all right? You don't mind. Don't tell anybody, okay? It's between us. But, you know, Man on Main Street. Now, that was a Christian organization, okay? It came from a Christian church, okay? And in the name Manna, who's the Manna? Jesus. You know, Jesus, right? So there they are giving out stuff, and I know their board comprises a lot of variety of religions now and so forth, and it's not religious. It's not Christian any longer, and I realize that. So just for kicks, I went over and I'm talking, and the guy there was wonderful. He's like, oh yeah, you know, I come from, you know, this church, and actually I'm born again too and all that. So that's awesome. Well, you wouldn't mind if I put some tracts here to give out about Jesus Christ, would you? Oh yeah, sorry, I just can't do that. And he's on the board. And I'm like, I knew the answer. I already knew the answer. I'm like really? Like, you can't or you won't? Like, what's going to happen to you? They're going to kick you off the board? It's free anyway. You're a volunteer. And you're not even going to push the envelope a little bit? Now, God bless. You know, I'm just saying it was Christian. The YM what? A. C? What's the C? Is it still? You know, it's like, what is that? You know, the enemy intrudes, and then all of a sudden what was once about Jesus Christ isn't any longer, you know? And that's when you obey man rather than God, you know? And so, and then they went on from there and they said, him God has exalted to his right hand to be prince and savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. That's to all of us, amen? But the reason they're saying specifically Israel is because they're talking to Israel's leaders, you know, the Jewish leaders. And they're saying, yeah, this is for you. First and foremost to you. Then the rest of all those dogs out there, the Gentiles. But first to you, right? This is for you, you know? And then from there, and we are his witnesses to these things. And so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. By the way, was it by their own strength and power and boldness and strength they were doing this? It was the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was saying, you're not going to go back and, oh, that's it's gone. You're not going to go back into some house up on the hill. You're going into the temple, you know. You're not going to chicken out. You know, we have that same Holy Spirit in us. Yeah. And he's ready to be unleashed in us, you know. But so often we allow the fear of man to just press in on us and keep us in that prison, even though the door is already open. We stay there. Oh, no, you know, I don't want to offend anybody. I don't want to hurt anybody. Well, Jesus is the chief cornerstone that everybody trips over and kicks and swears and gets angry because they don't want to submit to the rock, Jesus Christ, right? He is an offense, you know? And so I love how the apostles responded. And so after that, Gamaliel comes along, and Gamaliel was a Pharisee as opposed to the Sadducees, but he really knew his stuff. I mean, everybody respected the words of Gamaliel. You know, he was like Samuel in his day. You know, Gamaliel is speaking. You know, in fact, Paul makes that part of his defense when he was in Jerusalem in Acts 22, and he's like arguing with them. He's like, well, look, I was taught at the feet of Gamaliel. So you know, I know more than y'all because I was taught by him, right? So this guy is respected. And he says, whoa, what are you doing? I mean, that's some wisdom, isn't it? Because he realized, look, I mean, there's some peculiar things happening out there in Jerusalem that I've never seen before. And he warns them, if this is of God, you don't want to be fighting against God. We see this in verses 41 and 42. I'm sorry, 38 and 39. And then finally they bring him back in. They're like, okay, all right, you can go after we give you a whooping. Like, I mean, that's now a beating. Now that word they used for beating, it means broken skin. Okay. It's not just like, all right, come here, let me give you a little smack in the butt. Now get out there, don't do that again now, you know. It's like we're talking, they beat him up. Okay? Now, I'm not saying with the rods that Paul was later whipped, beaten 39 times. I'm not saying that, but they were beaten up, you know? I've never been beaten up for the gospel. You know, I'm sure someday we may all be. I don't know. But they beat them. And then as they left, verses 41 or 42, as they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. So there's some significant boldness. And I believe when that angel, remember when the angel came and they said, you must go into the temple and speak the words of this life. Isn't that a different way to phrase? I mean, it's a little unusual. But I really believe when the angel said that to Peter in particular, something resonated in Peter. Because in John chapter 6, when Jesus was talking about how he is the bread from come down from heaven, and unless you eat his flesh and drink his blood, you have no life in you. And he was talking all of a sudden like this guy is talking about being eaten by us, you know, like cannibalized. You know, they didn't understand it. And he would have explained further, but they just started leaving, okay? And we read this in John 6, 66 to 69. And from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. A lot of people just said, I can't take this. This is just too weird. I can't grasp what he's trying to say. And then Jesus said to the 12, do you also want to go away? But Simon Peter, there he is, answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe that and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You know, Peter, I believe when that angel said, go and speak the words of this life, don't you think that triggered in Peter's mind, like, wow, this is really the Lord just saying, no, I got you. Go back. Where else can you go? But be serving me and hearing my word. I mean, though Jesus said, you know, those who follow me, they know my voice. Remember the shepherd in John chapter 10? And he said, those who hear my voice, they follow me. And he brings them out of the sheep and he goes before them and the sheep follow him for they know his voice, right? They don't know someone else's voice. They know his voice. And you know, as I was thinking about this, I know you're going to think this is a weird connection, but as I was thinking about this, I couldn't help but think about my son Jake down in Tennessee. And he has a hunting dog named Gunner. There he is now. My son Jake is an extreme hunter, and you know, he loves hunting birds, duck, turkey, deer, you name it, okay? And he like leaves nothing for waste, all you animal lovers. He literally butchers it in the woods, shrink wraps the meat in plastic, and takes it out of the woods and leaves the rest there for, you know, buries some and leaves the rest for the scavenger animals. So he's very environmentally conscious, okay? I don't want you to judge him. But he's just the real deal. I mean, like, wherever you go, he always shoots the most. He always catches the most on a fishing pole. He just has this magnet for game, right? And he has freezers full of it, and he eats it all. But anyway, he has a dog named Gunner. And this dog is so cool. I mean, it's high-strung. I mean, when it bumps into you, you're like, ow. Like, your quad is, like, sore. You know, he's like, yeah. And he hasn't been, what do you call it, neutered or spayed or whatever it is. He hasn't been, so he's even more jacked. You know, it's like, what are we going to do? Jake, what are we doing? What do we got going? It's like, and so he is so intense. And he's all about Jake. Like, Jake is his Yahweh. You know, it's like, whatever Jake says, he follows him. So Jake says, you know, heel. And Gunner runs up and stands right next to him at attention. Okay, there he is on the... There he is on the duck boat, right? But he just stands there, right? And then he says, post. And Gunner runs up on like a spot where he's looking, you know, if he has a spot in the little duck shack, whatever that thing's called, or whatever. And he's waiting, like, you know, something's about to happen, right? Okay? And then when he says fetch, it doesn't matter what Gunner's doing. Even if he wasn't even, he was chewing on a toy. Fetch. Boom. I mean, he says, boom. Bursts into action, and he's just running. Sometimes he doesn't even know what he's running towards. He's just running, like, looking back, all right? What am I looking for here, you know? But he's insane, right? And it's really cool to watch how this dog consistently transformed into this magnificent hunting dog, right? And as I was thinking about that, I'm thinking, well, why am I comparing myself to a dog, okay? Well, kind of, because he knows Jake's voice. Like when I say to Gunner, Gunner, post, you know, he's like, what? You know, Gunner, heel. For who? No, he doesn't talk back. But he just, you know, he just isn't interested. I'm not Jake. I don't have Jake's voice. He knows Jake's voice, and he does exactly what Jake tells him to do. And you know why? It might seem like, well, this is animal cruel, because Jake has introduced Gunner into the greatest things of in his life. All Gunner wants to do is to be swimming in water, is to be out in the outdoors, is to be jogging along with him, is to be engaged in the wilderness. And guess who brought that to fruition for Gunner? Jake. Jake knows exactly what Gunner loves, and Gunner just follows the one who leads him into that. In the same way you and I, you know, Jesus Christ is our shepherd. It's like, Lord, like, I know whatever you're about to tell me to do, it's the best thing. It's the best thing for me. It's the best thing for you. I want to go. I want to do it, Lord. You just tell me where to go. You tell me to heal, I'm healing. Post, I'm posting. Fetch, I'm fetching. Because, Lord, I know this is what my life is for. You know, Gunnar was trained to be a hunting dog. I am trained to be a servant of the Lord Most High. I serve Jesus Christ. And you know what? Willingly, like gladly, joyfully, rejoicing, because I know what he calls me into is the best for him and myself. Amen? Amen. And that's the idea, is that we know his voice and we listen to it. You know, we see this form of censorship that the apostles are going through. And in this country, at this time, we're probably not going to go through right now the same things they went through. First imprisoned, okay, and then beaten. And they're going to be beaten way worse than this, by the way. And then later martyred. In just two more chapters, Stephen is getting stoned to death. I mean, that's not a fast death, I wouldn't imagine, right? You know, that's intense. What are our forms of censorship? Are like how we are persecuted? And I don't mean to guilt you, okay? This isn't like, see how bad they had it? How dare you ever get scared of people, you know? It's not about this. I'm comparing so that we can all grasp, like, what am I worried about? And I fall into it. I feel like, ah, this person looks a little this or that. I don't want to, you know, so, right? And you look at, what do we go through? We go through being judged. Like, well, if I bring that up, I know how this person feels. I'm going to hurt my family's feelings and so forth. You know, now there's a way to be sensitive, right? I'm not just saying just say stuff, you know? And really, it's so much better not to get into any issues or political things. It's not about that. It's not, it's about Jesus Christ. He is the one who cleanses our sins, washes our sins away. He is the one who forgives our sins. He is the one who holds our eternal life. He holds the keys to the kingdom of God and hands them to us. It's about him. So, yeah, we shouldn't burst into all these issues that aren't about Jesus Christ. But still, when it comes to Jesus, you know, why aren't we talking more about him? It's like, and really, it's just my testimony. It's just what he's done for me, you know, because my life, my life is in him. My identity is in him. And what about consequences? You know, yeah, will we suffer some consequences? And I was reminded in preparing for this, and I asked Zach, hey, remind me of some of those details. But he was in Penn State, and he once had this professor that was like just I won't say the words, but just not likable, okay? I don't know. But he was an atheist, and he had all these bad things to say about Christians and the hypocrisy and Jesus Christ and everything. And here he is, a professor. So I was hearing this, and I'm like saying, you got to record this. Get this on your laptop. Remember, Zach? And I want you to play this back when this course is over. Get your grade. Again, consequences, right? Get your grade, but then report them. You know, because how dare he share these things in class to students? This has nothing to do with it. He's not even supposed to be talking about religion. And yet he's vomiting just demonic evil. And you could tell I was seething mad 12 years ago or 15, whatever that was. I was angry back then, right? But like, you know, but Zach, you know, he just went with the flow and waited for the timing. And then finally the guy said something about, is there any Christians here? And Zach raised his hand. He's the only one in the class of like 30-some, raised his hand. So why do you believe? And he stood up and he gave his testimony. Right there in the class, right in front of like 30-some students, and he gave it. And you know what happened to him? As he was walking down the steps about to leave the room, the professor said, hey, come here. And he says, yeah, I really respect what you just did. And from that time on, he never talked negative about Christianity or Jesus Christ in that class. Isn't that amazing? It just silenced. You know, I mean, that's amazing. Jesse had a similar situation when his professor was, talking all this garbage about the Bible and the New Testament. And Jesse actually straightened her out in a loving way. You know, he just said, hey, well, that's not actually accurate. This happened in this date, and it was about the Apostle Paul. She thought the Apostle Paul came like in the second century AD. And he's like, no, actually, he was the beginning of the church, and she didn't even know that. And here she is talking just trash about our Lord and Savior and the Bible. But those are victories. It could have turned out differently. But I think sometimes if we just are sensitive to where they're at and approach it not in a confrontational way. In fact, the Lord in the Word even says, you know, don't debate and get into arguments. And all. Just with, in fact, it says, you know, in 1 Peter chapter 3:15, we don't have the verse there, but it says, always be prepared to give a reason for the hope that is within you with gentleness and meekness. In other words, like, we don't have to win an argument. We can tell them the truth in love. We don't have to even convince them. Just tell them the truth, you know? I mean, that goes a long way, doesn't it, when we just share the truth? And so those are the differences. And so we're going to have communion this morning, but I wanted to go over again just one more time about the three kingdom priorities, because I think we can learn through what happened in this scripture lessons for ourselves, because the apostles were obedient to God. They weren't seeking the approval of the Sadducees and the rulers of their people. And, you know, they were intimidating people. They knew more than everybody else. They could make life difficult for you, and they could even get you in trouble with the Roman government. They could do all kinds of things. And yet the apostles said, no, it is more important to obey God rather than to be approved by you. And then the next thing is faithful persistence. Go back to the temple and preach. You know, that could have been easy to just have fearful pressure and say, you know what, I'd rather not go, okay? I'd rather stop here. I'm still alive. I only have some stripes on my back. I can survive with that. But no, they move forward. If the worship team could come up too. And then finally, eternal reward is greater than earthly regret. I know I shared this before in the past, but there was a time when someone I knew from work, like this work colleague, she was a realtor, I was a mortgage person, and she was dying. She was in the hospital, she was terminal. And I was born again, maybe only a year or two or something. And someone told me about her, and she was a friendly lady. I think I have one. We might, you all have one? Yeah, we're good, thank you. And so I just sensed this unction, this angst, this urge from the Holy Spirit. You have to go and tell her about Jesus Christ. She's going to die. Anyone ever get an urge from the Holy Spirit? I know most of you. Do you know what I'm talking about? That urge, that pressure, that good pressure from above saying, come on, you could do this. You could do this. This is what I would do if I were there. And I am there because I'm in you. So I want to do this in you, right? Just like we were singing about that we are his temple. You know, he resides in us. He's saying, look, I want to go do this. Let's go. You ever have a kid like tugging on you saying, can we go? Can we go? Can we? I wonder if the Holy Spirit's like saying, you know, can we go? Can we go? And we're like, no. Shh, you know? The Holy Spirit's saying, let's do this. And I was saying, I don't want to. Because I don't know her that well. I mean, I'm not buddies with her. And even if I were, it's weird. She's in the hospital. She's going to have family members there. I don't know. I'm not eloquent at talking about the Bible. I don't know how to do this stuff, you know? And again, I was a newer believer. I don't know what to do. And so I just was like pushing it down, and I just didn't want to do it. And she died. And I'll never forget like hearing she died and say, well, that's, you know, that's a shame. But it was more than that for me. I felt regret. I felt like I resisted the Holy Spirit. and basically said, no, but I don't want, you might want to, but I don't want to. And I just tried to press it out of my mind, and finally I just was so humbled and repentant. And I said, all right, Lord, if you ever give me an opportunity to do that again, I'll do it. And I'll tell you what, within a year, about three more people, this one's mom, this one's dad, they're dying. Their own child doesn't know what to do with that. And I said, well, you know, if you want, I'll come and visit. And it was like, almost like, all right, you said you would. All right, I have these scheduled appointments for you now. And I just recruited you. And I said, yes. And do you know what is amazing? Every time I went, I was more and more emboldened and encouraged by the Holy Spirit to say, no, no, I am doing this. Just show up and just follow my lead. Let the Holy Spirit speak through you. And I'll give you the words to say. And it was magnificent. It really, in a huge way, just reset my whole confidence in the Lord. I realized that, no, this is, if he calls me to do this, I will have regret, earthly regret, if I don't do it. But I said yes. You know, just the same thing with Peter, like, you know, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? It's because he said, I don't know him, I don't know him, I don't know him, right? But he wants to reconcile. You know, you can fail to obey the Lord. He'll give you more options to reset, to be reconciled. Like, don't judge your past on your past failures, your past rejection to be led by the Holy Spirit. Don't judge that. Say, Lord, I'm acknowledging, because that is exactly why I'm going to say yes next time. This feeling of regret is going to be a thing of my past, because it's what got me to the next level of saying yes to you, Lord. Yes, I want to go. Please send me. I'm ready. Amen.
Amen.
We have communion now, and our family, you know, we have a son I just mentioned in Tennessee with Destiny, his wife, and their daughter, Vienna, and my son-in-law, Tevin, and Morgan, and their two sons, Kingston and Coast, in Orlando. And of course, Jesse and Zach and their families up here. And I say this because, you know, it's sometimes hard to get together. But what we try to do is whenever anyone has a birthday, we try to, like, somehow navigate a trip to be all together and have a dinner together, you know? And it's like we celebrate their birthday together. It doesn't always land near. Sometimes we have to kind of cheat and group two of them together. But we come together and we have, like, a birthday meal together. And it's just a time to celebrate that person in our family. And I was relating that to this communion table, how, you know, this is a celebration that we're enjoying together because we are a family. And even if you're a visitor here, we welcome you to be part of this family, because this is, in a sense, like a birthday meal. If you've been born again, it's a birthday meal. You've been born again. We're celebrating our birthdays in Jesus Christ. And so as we have this celebration, I just want to invite you today, if you're sitting here and you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, I implore you, don't wait any longer. This is it. This is the life. This is the words of this life. That when you become born again, you are a new creation. You think differently. You feel differently. You love differently. You act differently. It's a whole new life. It's a whole new experience by the blood here today. But I'm inviting you, if you're here, say yes to the Lord. Just say, Lord, I am a sinner, and I have a diseased soul. I am contaminated, and I need to be washed clean by the blood of Jesus. Today, I want to just die with you, Lord, on that cross. And I ask you to forgive all of my sins and fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. And the word said that if you pray in that way, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. All who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Anyone who calls upon the Lord will be saved. Amen? Amen. And that's us. I don't know about you, but I totally don't deserve heaven. And yet I'm going there. Isn't that awesome? Yeah. Praise the Lord. So let's all stand. We're going to worship just for a refrain or two. And then we're going to have communion together. So let's worship the Lord.
Thanks for joining us at Lansdale Life Church as we praise God and discuss His Word. Don't forget to join us for Worship Live Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. Eastern on YouTube. Be blessed and have a great day.